grace to you with peace. For God creates and redeems and sustains all things.
Amen.
As Teresa so accidentally pointed out, Jesus' words in this gospel are shocking. They're difficult to hear. If you want to be my disciples, Jesus says, then you must hate father and mother, sister and brother, even life itself. And give away all that you have. Words are, to say
the least, difficult to hear, especially in a world that at least gives lip service to the importance of family values. But Jesus' hyperbolic statement is, I think, meant to shock us. Shock us from our domesticated, truncated, and tamed sense of what discipleship means and is. It's a real reassessment in many ways of what it means for us to live in God's kingdom. At some point during Christian history, I often like to blame Constantine because he's far enough in history to take the blame without coming to get me. Christianity became acceptable, almost ordinary. It began as a kind of radical movement, an underground sort of group of people who had found something about life that they believed they needed so deeply that they were willing to risk even their lives to follow it. Discipleship was a radical departure from either one's Judaism or one's Roman citizenship in many ways, to give one's life to God. Somewhere along the line, it became domesticated, normalized, and frankly, a little boring. So much so that at some point in history, when we talked about Christianity, we had to talk about mainline Christians, that's us, and other Christians, in a kind of us or them language. In the 50s and 60s, as I have mentioned more than once, we became so domesticated that IBM and other corporations would encourage their employees to join churches, make relationships, so that you could mine those relationships for business deals. I'm not sure that that's what Jesus had in mind. Go ye therefore, be employed by IBM, and spread the gospel. For others, and this is becoming increasingly true, discipleship has been reduced to occasionally showing up for church. And you'll be yes, I know. You'll be surprised to know that really it's lovely that you show up for church, but it isn't discipleship. Discipleship is something deeper. A few years ago, I met a young transgendered man named Charlie. I met Charlie at a newly formed congregation that had become home for him. And as I listened to his story, I was reminded of these sayings of Jesus. His family had never been able to fully understand or support who he was. Born in a female body, Charlie was always quite certain that she was a boy. Over time, finally, Charlie decided to make the transition, and it was really difficult on his family. They could not understand. For them, it seemed as if this person that they had always known had become an aberration. Charlie had become so accustomed to hiding who he was underneath the clothes of another person that it just became kind of normative. But when she became Charlie, for the first time, he felt himself. But he also felt pretty away from his family, and his friends didn't know what to do with him. So Charlie sought another community. And in the GLBTIQABCD++ world, Charlie found a family. Charlie didn't have to hide who he was, or how he got there, or how he felt, because he was surrounded by people who were very much like him and who understood his journey. But Charlie had a secret that he could not share with his gay, lesbian, and transgendered friends. Charlie was a Christian. Even worse, Charlie was a Lutheran. Charlie had left one community where he could not be himself or be out to his community, only to enter into another community where Charlie could not be himself. Because the gay, lesbian, and transgendered community of which he was a part had suffered so terribly at the hands of so-called Christians, had read so much hateful writing, been reviled and spat on in the streets, called sinners, you name it. Charlie was desperately afraid to come out to his queer friends. Soon Charlie found it simply wasn't working. And having heard this text from Deuteronomy where God sets out before God's people a choice, God says to God's people, look, I'm going to give you a choice to make. And the choice is you can choose love and life, and you can choose a world in me, or you can reject all of that and follow other gods. But I hope you will choose life. So the children's sermon was, you so missed it. I'm telling you. I asked the kids, what if you had to make a choice between rocks and a plate of cookies? Yeah, see, it's not that hard. So those of you on the Atkins diet, feel free to take the rocks. I mean, in a way, that's what God is saying to the people of Israel. Look, choose life or death. Well, how hard could it be? For Charlie, it was that important. And Charlie realized that he had to choose life. Charlie realized that God had chosen Charlie to be exactly like he was, to put him in communities who were exactly where he needed to be. And so Charlie finally came out. Finally came out to his gay, lesbian, and transgendered friend as they sat around a bar one night. He said to them, I have something to tell you. I'm a Christian. Even worse, I'm a church-going Christian. And even worse than that, I'm a church-growing Lutheran Christian. A lot of people don't know that Lutherans are Christians. So you have to kind of define that. And his friend said, "Oh, that's nice. You want a beer?" See, they loved Charlie for exactly who he was. What they saw in Charlie was someone who was choosing life over death, who chose them for who they are in the same way that God had chosen Charlie for who he was. So Charlie gathered with his friends at church on Sunday morning, and after the sermon, as they sat around the table to discuss the sermon, which apparently is something they do in that congregation, they sat around talking about the sermon, and Charlie said, "I need you to know that I was born a woman, and now I'm a man." And his church-going Lutheran friends drew up in horror and said, "Well, duh." What they saw was someone who had chosen life. And not only that, what they saw in Charlie was someone who God had already chosen. And so it's the same for us. In many ways, Charlie had to reject mother and father and sister and brother and all of the norms that he had thought were so important to him in order to be the person God had called him to be. That none of those things could distract him. Not his possessions or his past beliefs or any of that stuff that gets in the way of seeing who God has chosen. Seeing himself beautiful and loved. Charlie didn't have to choose between his queer and transgendered friends or his queerly Lutheran congregation, because God had already chosen him. Charlie had chose to reject the notion that the church automatically meant that he had choosing church automatically meant that he chose a community that rejected him and all people. And in the same way, he had to reject the notion that being part of his queer friends meant that he could no longer be a practicing, joyful Christian. He chose life. And in choosing life, he chose what God had called him to from the very beginning. Well, there is nothing domesticated about that. This is a cutting-edge kind of discipleship that understands deeply the love that God has for each and every one of us, despite our, or in, because of our sexuality, or our social standing, or our ethnicity, or our first language, or our second language, whether we are tall, or short, or pretty, or fat, whatever it is that God chooses us. And then sends us out to move from being just disciples to being God's apostles and sharing that word of love over and over again. Part of what Jesus tells us today is that God chooses you and draws you into the cross with Jesus in this deep, sacrificial, life-giving, beautiful discipleship that we might be the body of Christ for the world. Amen.